Blog Talk Radio. Breaking Chains. Breaking Chains is a show that will break generational curses that are holding our youth and families in bondage. It's freedom time.
Freedom time.
You're now listening to Breaking Chains with your host, Minister Roderick Williams.
Good evening and welcome to Breaking Chains. It's a special assignment night. It's Monday night and waiting on my co-host, my main man, Rodney Tuma, my brother Rodney X, waiting on him to call in and get ready for the show. He's been working hard this weekend, so I'm hoping that he's going to call in and not sleeping. what's going on? Giving honor, glory, and praise to the Most High God and His Savior, His Son, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the most Holy Spirit. Good evening to you and welcome. Let's get in deep to the conversation tonight. I want you to get involved. Pick up the phones. Give us a call, 858-357-9137. I want to hear from you tonight. Want to know something, man. Got to get involved. What's going on with your community? Hey, y'all. Let's get it for it.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, we don't need. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Picket lines and picket signs, don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Right.
Right.
don't know what's going on. Welcome back to Breaking Chains. It's a special assignment. My main man, Rodney Toome, is on. Peace and blessings to you, brother. Good evening to you.
Peace and blessings, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing good, bro. How you doing, man?
I can't complain, brother. Can't complain.
Yeah.
How's the brother today?
Hey, man. The brother's good, man. How about you, man? You get you some rest, man?
you're
the hardest working man.
Weekend.
I tell you. Y'all, I tell you, this brother right here, and, you know, you got an old saying, everybody always talking, man, and I'm not about cliches, man, but this is one thing that I got to honestly say, and I can say this every week that we're on, but this man right here, you know, he works hard every day, and, you know, but he also is doing a lot for the community. So, you know what I'm saying? You have to acknowledge people like that when they're able to hear it with their own ears, because we're always talking about what a person's done after they're gone and they don't hear nothing. You know what I'm saying? Because the scripture said dead man and can't say nothing, can't hear nothing, don't know nothing.
Mm.
So, you know what I'm saying? So when a brother's walking around and he's doing things to try to work and work hard for not just his family, but also people that he don't know. You know what I'm saying, brother? You working for people of color all over this world. You know what I'm saying? When you lend your voice and your spirit, man, and your prayers, you know what I'm saying? That's what a real soldier does. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? We and I say we because you, myself, and others out here that are sending up prayers, man, and working in the fields for people, man, to have a better day because our ancestor did it. And that's something that we picked up on. So tonight, I want to know what's on your spirit tonight, man, because being on a special assignment, that sends you out there physically, but it lets your spirit, man, go out there, man, before you and pick up on things, man, that you have to bring to the high and majestic Father every day on a daily basis. So what's your spirit, man, telling you on tonight, man, that we need to talk about, man, and bring to the world?
Man, for me, I mean, I appreciate all them accolades, but it is, you know, to me, I've never been comfortable with people saying that, you know, you know, a lot of people, you say you the best DJ, you the best this. I've never been comfortable with that because I know there's always somebody better than that. But what I'm good at, I know. But,
that's
you
right.
know, for
that's
me,
right.
like, just trying to build my character, my integrity. It's a constant refining and evolving for me. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Every day I got to look in the mirror at me and make sure that I'm a better man, a better husband, a better father, a better friend, a better brother every day. You know, and that in itself is a struggle. But sometimes you get so busy in one subject or one discipline that another one suffers from that. So it's about getting balanced. And when you ask about my spiritual self, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to balance and make sure more than anything that I have great integrity and great character. If I give you my word on something, my word has to be my bond. If it's not my bond,
absolutely,
then I have issues. And that's the defining moment for me. Now, everybody else has, you know, we all have our impediments. But for me, as far as I am in my life right now, I want to just always have the best character, the best integrity.
And that's great, man. I love that. And I understand what you're saying about those accolades, because I'm like that, too. But I think that's something that that I want to expound on with you about that tonight. And I know that, you know what I'm saying, we got something in common about that, about those personal kind of conversations. But I want to expound on something personal tonight with you, brother, because it is something a little personal tonight, because with you being that type of brother, just like that, though, that says a lot for other brothers, because the reason why I say that is because you being the brother that you are today, and brothers that have known you for a long time, and knowing where you come from and knowing things that you've been through and seeing where you are today, you know what I'm saying? That gives a brother that urgency to want to get his life in order, to become that, you know what I'm saying, to become that better man, to become that better father. You know what I'm saying? That better son, that
Absolutely.
Better husband. You know what I'm saying? So when I say that opens the door for that next man to say, you know what? You know what I'm saying? He good at what he's doing on them turntables, but you know what? When I look at that brother and in his personal life, you know what I'm saying? That's an example that I can look at now, because guess what? Rod Ski, who is Rodney Tumor to me now, that I knew Rod Ski, still Rod Ski on them wheels. But guess what? You know, them young men now, bruh. Come on, man. Look at what we're looking at in our community today, man. Hey, man, we have to expound on those things, too, because, you know, it's not about us, because it's not, you know, and I feel you. It's not about you. It's not about me. But
mm-hmm.
you are who they see, though, Ski. You know what I'm saying? You are who they looking at.
Well, not necessarily the younger guys. You know, they got other things they looking at. I mean, their role models are rappers, trappers, whatever. But all I could do is try to walk the walk, you know, and be a best example. I can't be anything other than myself. By me being an example, they see how I treat women. They see it because they see how I treat my wife. They see how I treat my children. My girls are in college and one is in that. That's the only thing they can go by. But other than that, you know, the role models and what's important to them has changed as well as the culture. You know what I'm saying? You know, even when we was back in the days, we used to always see the pimps. We used to always see the drug dealers as having all that. We see all the drug dealers always had a pretty girl and all that. And then we realized when we grew up that was just an illusion. What's real in life is lasting and has to have a foundation built on freedom, justice, and equality. If that is not
right.
in your foundation, then it's going to crumble. I don't give a damn what you got or how much you got.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's where we are. You know, we got some stuff going on. You know, we got something going on, and it's right here in our city for the per capita, per people. The ratio per people per capita here, and all the violence is going on. It's like a shooting every day, every other day.
Right.
We can't get around the elephant in the room not talking about what happened at last stadium. You know, they trying to make it seem like, you know, something other than what it was. So they can't use that narrative, you know, mass shooting. But they've been trying to float it around. But they know that was a whole different context from which this was. This wasn't somebody actually coming out to kill people. This is like somebody had a gun and got jumped on, and then no matter what, it was wrong. But he didn't come out. I'm going to come out and I'm going to shoot the whole stadium up.
That's
so
right.
We can't put those in the same context. But they're going to make an example out of him. You know?
That's
either
right.
You know he comes from, either his family is not rich, so his bail is $500K. So, you know, that's $50,000, and they can't come up with that, then it's stipulations, you know. So he's going to have to pay for that, even though it's a lot of circumstances around. But it's the culture that we're in right now. My biggest question is, where are they getting these guns from? I mean, I know you have kids breaking into different people's cars getting guns, but if you could tell me about one of these kids, could tell me they get me a gun in 15 minutes. Faster than they get their driver's license, then we got an epidemic going on. And you can't call it nothing but what it is. You know?
Absolutely.
And I'm pretty sure by this last thing going down, it's got people's attention. I hate to say it, but they needed that. But in the meantime, as long as they keep it contained within the black community, they don't give a damn. They like, let them niggas kill each other. But until it start affecting everybody or something like that, this happens on their watch, then they have to take action, and that's what they have to do now. So now it's scurrying, trying to see what we need to do. We're going to have to make an example out of him. Yeah, we know that, but it's still guns. It's still young people riding around and have access to get guns faster than
that's
anything.
That's right.
And these are matters that public safety, James Barber, who got to take up, and along with Chief Baptiste, the chief of police. And it's something that our community know, because we know, and you can say what you want about it, but I got to tell the truth. We know even parents, even some of the parents' parents, even some of the kids' parents, they know who around here carry guns.
Absolutely.
You know,
they know.
That no snitch law, that underlining law that we try to keep up in the community about not snitching on them, but if somebody got a gun and you know they aren't supposed to have it, you better tell somebody. If you don't tell somebody, then that person's blood is going to be on your hands if they fall a victim to that random gun violence.
That's right.
And that's just
absolutely.
That's the truth. So
absolutely.
We dealing with it, man. That's a real, real hard reality and a real hard problem that is going on in the black community where all these young teenagers got guns. You'll be surprised how many of them got guns. And I know they can't. All those guns are not getting to them by just break-ins. That is more to it. It's something else to it.
It is.
You know, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it's actually someone that is doing that intentionally and making sure that they sell guns to them. The plug, as they call it. You know, so these are things that we're dealing with, man. And you know. I haven't made any statements on any social media about that because I know what that's about. What I'm trying to do, and I reached out to Chief Baptiste the same night it happened. That well, not in the night, that morning, and I reached out to him. Told him, man, these young people that go to these two schools, they need to have crisis counselors at those schools Tuesday tomorrow. They need to have them just for those who might want to talk about who want to do it. Because there was some stuff went on that people got shook up behind that. You got to understand, you at a game, you having fun, you watching playing the football, the band, you're caught up in that. And all of a sudden, you have to duck and dive down behind some bleachers because somebody's shooting. Then six people get shot.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Even though it was under the bleachers, I mean, what is that? So now you at a game now, you might not even go. So now you're fearing of going to a game for that same thing. So all of a sudden the school doesn't get those dollars that you normally would pay in concession and pay to come in. And that money that could be put, some of it could be, put toward security or whatever, but they losing already. Our school's Williamson is already undersupported, man.
That's right.
Employers,
absolutely.
They don't get the proper funding that they should get, especially not Williamson. And they have May Eames, a middle school, tied to them. And they're interacting and engaging, going back and forth and through that school, 6th and 7th grade, with 10th, 11th, 12th grade. So, you know, it is what it is, man. But I know we have a problem of a gun violence epidemic, and it's going on, and it's going on like it's the Wild Wild West in the black community. And we have to stop that, you know. If somebody knows somebody that's carrying a gun or something, need to tell them they don't have the permit or the proper, they don't know how to properly use it. That's an accident waiting to happen any time. Don't nobody do like we used to do back in the day. If I got an issue with you, and me and you had an issue, we're going to see each other behind the school or whatever, man. We're going to put them things up. We're going to fight. And if you
that's
knock
right.
me out, hey, if you knock me out, or if I get knocked, or I get you get the best, then it's done. Then I can go on about my business, you go on about your business. You know, a lot of people don't like to talk about it, but the minister, the Nation of Islam, had one that do 10,000 centers for conflict resolution in the black community. He asked people that they can get trained. But, you know, people kind of shy away from the Nation because of their what they've been told. Majority of times they haven't really sat and listened to the minister, but, you know, that's for another story. That's for another day. But, you know.
Right.
It has to be conflict resolution.
And there's not.
I got a beef with you. If I have a beef with you, I would love to see boxing come back. If I have an issue with you, then look, we're going to put these gloves on. We're going to get at it.
We get in the ring and let's have it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it sounds crazy, but it's really that simple. If I got beef with you and I think, you know, you're a punk or whatever you want to call it. And I said, well, let's get at it. Let's put these gloves on. You got all the time. You got all the space you want. Somebody going to get knocked out. Somebody going to get tired. And then you'll be done with it. Leave that energy right there in the ring.
That's right.
But they carry these grudges. And what I heard from just listening and dealing with these young people, it was over some sneakers, over somebody talking about they going to take somebody's sneakers. you know, some Jordans or some stupid. And nine times out of ten, when you get down to whatever happened to gun violence, it always ends up to being a non-factor, something stupid. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. Absolutely.
So
absolutely,
you know, it is what it is, bro.
And you said the magic thing, man. Conflict resolution. There is no conflict resolution. There's no resolutions. We meeting about the meeting. You said this last week. All the meetings. You keep meeting about the meeting about the meeting, and we're coming up with nothing out of the meetings. Nothing's coming up. You know what I'm saying? We still talking about the same thing we talked about a few years ago, and we still have not come up with anything. You know what I'm saying? And nobody wants to talk about the fact that we ain't come up with nothing. We don't have no answers. You know what I'm saying? And everybody's afraid to just say, we don't have no answers right now. Can we just bring some people in to get some answers? You know what I'm saying? And
I don't even really think it's that. We know the problem. We know the solution. But we can't.
Yeah,
we have no unity to unify and
that's
become
what I'm
a
saying.
Force within our own
there we
community.
Go.
We know what
absolutely.
We need to do. But getting people on the same page and getting people to follow through, that's a whole other thing. Oftentimes when these little small, I don't want to minimize the true definition of it, but when we get in these small movements and everything, we start going and it's 20 people in it. And then we're trying to recruit more people. But in the meantime, I got something to do, or I can't be there, or this. And then next thing you know, all that hunger, fighting determination at the beginning of it, it fades out.
And then
every time we come to a meeting, there's less people there. I think they're coming, or he can't make it, you know. But we can make that cabaret or that party. We can make that some event that we know is going on, like huge, but we'll make them. But
right.
as far as being consistent, we have no consistency. So
right.
it's about being consistent and every man for himself. And that's where we are, where we at today.
Absolutely. I totally agree. I totally agree.
So it's
a there's no consensus.
I'm telling you, we can't keep saying that. We can't
come together.
We got problems.
I just should have said that. We can't come together on the solutions.
Because that solution where we used to be in the community where everybody knew everybody, and you knew everybody's
child.
I seen that child, I'm going to tell it.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna tell
you
first as a parent. If you don't correct it, I'm gonna go to somebody else. Or we might get some straightening on that.
Yeah,
that ain't
we gonna fix it.
It's over. But that's we have solutions. We know the solutions. We don't need to talk about the solutions no more. We need to be talking about mobilizing in a group or whatever organization where we can get out and make effective change. And we know it starts one community at a time. You know,
that's
the community that I live in right now, where I stay, if I go outside and I see somebody that I ain't used to seeing over at my neighbor's house or walking around, I'm going to stay out there and make sure he know I'm out there.
That's right.
And
if I
see him go somewhere over there, then I got my neighbors, they have our number, they can call, or we can call them, or we can go over there and see what's going on.
That's
the kind of community you got to have.
That's right. Absolutely.
And if we took care of that as a community, we wouldn't need to do it. It's simple, man. I mean, we can't science this up. It's simple what we need to do. Just like I just said, it ain't something that I came up with. It's already been there. It's been there.
Been there. Absolutely.
Yeah, so we ain't got to keep going back to the water, you know, and just carrying empty pails because we don't get it.
I totally agree. Yeah. Just got to mobilize and start executing. Got to execute the plan again. It's already there. You're absolutely right. And I guess the thing is, fear plays a role in all of this again. You know, these kids carrying these guns. A lot of people are in fear of this right now. You know, and a lot of adults are afraid right now because these guns. You know what I'm saying? More guns on the street. And this is something that this is something, you know what I'm saying, because we just tell the truth. We just put it out there. Truth is, this kind of brings you back to this. Just me though. This kind of brings me back into a mindset of some things that happened when the back in what you want to say the 2012, 13, when all these guns got lost on the streets. Remember when those guns got lost on the streets? I forgot what the.
I think vaguely, but I don't recall.
Yeah, but then when
those guns are not from then. These new guns. They got AKs and stuff out here, bro.
Yeah,
they got little
Uzis and Macs and all that kind of stuff.
They got high tech weapons out here, bro.
High tech weapons, exactly. But you know what? This also puts me into the COINTELPRO era when they infiltrated the black community with the drugs and everything, and how the black community is infiltrated with the guns now. It ain't drugs now because they done did the drugs, so now it's the guns to kill us. You know, the drugs didn't kill us off, so now the guns is put in. So, you know what I'm saying? I go to these things because I look at that stuff and pay attention to what, you know, what they trying to do to us anyway. Gentrification is a monster, and they going to come in every kind of way that they can to do it. So, you know what I'm saying? I have to think on things like that. You know what I'm saying? And when you look at the studies from all of that from back then, and you look at what's going on now with our young people, because the young people are Generation X anyway, which is, you know what I'm saying? They want to X them out. So they're this nation's worst enemy, especially our young black males. Sir, tell me about you deal with our young people on a daily basis. When you go into these schools, what is the attitude of our young people when you first encounter them? Because you have to get to know them, and they have to get to know you. You know what I'm saying? What is the first thing that you pick up on them as far as their demeanor, their character, and how you feel that they feel about just themselves? You know?
Well, for me, you know, we only have an hour with them, like once
right.
a week. So me getting to know them personally, unless we talk before or after class, that counts for a lot. But the body language, body language, when I come into a classroom, and if you're got your head down, if you're looking at your phone, if you're doing anything but not giving me your full attention, then you're already letting me know what kind of student you are. So you have two different kinds of students. You have a student that pays attention, engages, and is really interested in the learning. And then you got that other student that, because of probably where he comes from, when he leaves out the house every day, he doesn't leave out with the idea, I love you, do good today, I'll see you later. He might not have a mom or dad to give him that. So then he comes to school and he's already angry, especially if he's not one of those kids that get a lot of stuff, or he's barely eating dinner, or even if they even have any food in their household. If he's seeing abuse, if he's seeing that he's in a dysfunctional household where his mom might be working all the time, there's nobody there to watch them and to build them and to cultivate them and to teach them and be in that as a parent or an adult guardian, then he's already taking it upon himself that my life is damned. So I'm gonna have that I don't give a F attitude, and I'm just gonna go ahead and just holler at my homeboys, go smoke me some weed at lunchtime before I go to school, when I get out, see if I can get me some pills. That you have those kind of people. So you have those kind of young people, you know, and a lot of it comes from their setting at home that determines their day and how it goes. You know, but if you ain't got no hope and no like I told you last week, if you don't have any hope, if you don't have any light that's just shining a little bit in that tunnel of darkness, then you're going to walk in the darkness continuously until you get some light in that intercedes with you and makes you start to see it's something else other than my circumstances. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
So, when I come into a classroom, I can tell And I could tell because of where I am now. I've not always been like this, but my spirit is really sensitive to when I walk in the room. And I can tell if it's a room with good energy, or I can tell it's a room with no energy and dark energy and no energy to be productive. So when I walk in, I'm going to feel a certain way, or I'm going to be like coming in like, yeah, this is it. Or I'm going to be ready to do a about face unless we can correct and see where this energy is off in this room. And 9 times out of 10, you'll see by looking around who's there, who's in the moment, who's engaging, and who's not even there. Their body's there, but their mind and their thoughts are somewhere else.
That's right.
That becomes a roadblock in trying to teach, no matter what your discipline is.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. So we definitely need to. We have to find something. There's not enough for our young people to be involved in to stimulate their minds. They're looking for school to be the stimulant for our young people, and school is not the stimulant for all our young people. You know what I'm saying? We have to have something for them to look forward to. Because you said something just then, they're not getting certain things at home. And if you don't have, and it's something because, boy, you said something, because if you're not that discerner of spirit, you're not going to ever be able to pick up on that. You're not going to be able to read that. You're not going to be able to understand that. And if you don't know those things and you can't pick up on it, you can't feel that spirit, you're never going to be able to understand these young people. And so our young people right now are in a need of having something to stimulate their minds, because when we were coming up, we had something to stimulate our minds because we had a lot going on, but we had parents around us too to say, hey, do good, we love you, and also to push us somewhere. We had somebody around us to push us along the way. A lot of young people today don't have that. Nowhere. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about nowhere.
Well, we have to blame ourselves, because we know the fruit don't fall too far from the tree.
Just finna say that.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, brother.
Go ahead. You was exactly what I was about to say, because I was only going to say, because if they don't have that nowhere, that means that we dropped the ball. So go ahead.
Absolutely.
And what you're about to say, we dropped the ball.
We dropped the ball when we were able to go eat, sleep, and drink around other people and not depend on ourselves to be self-sustaining. That's when we went adrift. We went totally to the left field. And if I'm growing up and I don't see no entrepreneurship in my household, I don't see my parents always constantly striving, I don't care if it is just my mama. My mama go get it, then I'm going to go get it, because I had a good teacher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know as children simulate everything they see us do, nine times out of ten. So what are they seeing? And when they come to school in the morning, that's what you're seeing. What they see every day when they get home, their reality. You know, then sometimes you have just some bad influences around your children, and you as a parent, if you're not tuned in who your children are, then those bad influences are going to take over your children's life, become their parent or their teacher, because they're going to look to them and they're going to mimic what they do, you know, and then there's the problem, you know?
That's right.
But, I mean,
absolutely,
man, you know, when like I said, when we was able to go eat and I feel like after the civil rights, when the civil rights laws were signed in about giving us the freedom to go eat in public places and all that legislation, that killed the entrepreneur spirit in the black community. That killed the creative process in our minds and in our spirits, because we got amnesia now. I mean, we don't produce anything. We don't make anything. All we do is just buy. And in the law of goods and services, you can't win like that. You have to be able to be a producer of something. If I don't do nothing but produce a cigarette lighter, if I got to come in and sell a cigarette lighter, at least I'm producing something. Everything we That's got right. for everything black people do for goods and services other than Mike trying to get something to eat, we have to go outside of our community to do it.
That's right.
I was reading today on the paper where it's saying that the people that own construction companies, they're going crazy now because they don't have any skilled workers. So if my nephew or my mentor, my mentees, they don't want to go to college, they're not college material because college ain't for everybody. I didn't go to college. I don't have to. I think I came out pretty well. But for those who don't want to go to college, then you can go to trade school and learn that skill that these people need for construction. They are in crisis. In
Say
Alabama and these construction companies, they don't have no skilled workers.
That's right.
So if you're good at your hands, you like building, why not go and take that trade up? You'll take that trade up and get certified in about a year. And then by that year, you can work on that job as OJT on that job training and train while you're also going to school and get
trained.
Right.
That's right.
So these
Absolutely.
Are the things, you know.
That's right.
I think another big thing that we need to stop doing as parents, as educators, as teachers, when we tell our children, I want the best thing you can do is go to high school, graduate, go to college, get a good education so you can get a good what?
They tell them to get a good job. Get a good job.
A good job. Wrong.
Yeah,
wrong. Absolutely. You're killing the entrepreneur spirit right then.
That's right.
That mutes everything. Why are we telling our children that? Why are we not telling children to go to college, get a great education, so you can become you can become your own boss, or you can come and create your own vision or your own business.
Right. Absolutely.
That's what you need to be telling them. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So it's things like that have been passed down generationally, and we always that's played out. We can't keep telling our children to go to college, get a good education, get a good job. You know, of course we know that you're gonna have to crawl before you walk, but putting that in their mind right then, they might come up with a great idea, a great patent, a great trade mark. You know,
you'll
never know why they're in college. And then if you tell them, well, let me see if somebody else would be willing to, you know, take a gamble on that. They give their patent or they give their trademark, they give up whatever that can help them to become an entrepreneur. They give that to somebody else because they ain't in that mind frame. Because
mm-hmm.
what we done dropped in their head. Poison.
That's right.
Is what we dropping. You know?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
It is what it is, brother.
Yeah. That's exactly what happens. And we have to do better, man, because, you know, you said it last week, man, and you say it every week. It's going to get worse before it get better. And
it's going to get worse.
And that's the truth. And unfortunately, it is the truth. It is the truth.
Yeah.
And it's something because that's not speaking ill will over nobody. But when you said that last week, look what just happened on Friday. You know what I'm saying? I look at situations like that. You said that on a Monday and look what happened on a Friday. You know what I'm saying? That's nobody speaking ill will, man. That's just the mentality of the people, man. You know what I mean? You know, that's just the way that it is. It's already written. It's already been spoken. You know what I'm saying? And you have to, you know, we have to, like you say, mobilize, man. I'm all for that, and it's got to be serious. You just can't keep talking about it. You know what I'm saying? And you say this every week. Everybody wants to get on Facebook and talk about it, but you don't see enough people. And I'm not going to say anybody, but you don't see enough people doing it enough about it. You know, you start it and then it stops. You know, it just stops.
Let me tell you something about that social media. If any of us, I'm talking about us, of us are that naive to think that people's real lives, what they actually put on there is really what's going on.
Yeah,
you're
really.
Crazy as hell. I got to just be honest. You're crazy and you cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah.
If you think that when you see people's lives on there, that's actually their lives that they're living, about 4% of that is people that the rest of it is people is more miserable. They're suffering. They're broke. I'm telling you, if you really knew the truth, if you really pay attention, you'll know.
You can see it,
man.
Yeah.
I've seen it personally. I see it every day. People that I know. I know, and I'm not, but it ain't my business to put out because it's their business. But they living on that like they're doing it. They're doing so well, and they're miserable, and they're going through hell. But you leave it on there, boy. I'm talking about, you could tell, you like, man, I want that life. So you too busy on there looking at them people and thinking about what they doing, and your life is suffering because you're not focused on you, and you worry, you everything.
You're worrying about what they got going.
Good. If you're a business, if you are inspiring people, social media is great. But if you go on there with the intentions and the perception that what I'm seeing is what exactly what it is, that you're a little too naive for your own good.
Oh,
I'm just being honest because I'm telling you,
Cocoa Puffs.
I'm telling you what I know, man. It is nothing like you think it is. So, with that being said, you know, I'd be shaking my head because I like not this is not this person. This person, but you know, we put that mask on.
Hey, man.
Can't keep that mask on for so long.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that
absolutely.
Mask, because that head, and that face get too big for that mask. And then you look crazy because the mask look like a patch over your eye because your face. Man. Right, let me stop.
This dude.
Anyway, brother.
This dude right here. Oh man,
bro, do your listeners, your audience, do they know a thing of something about called the Zogby Act?
The Zogby Act?
Zogby Zogby Act. I think it was a legislation. It was an act that was brought into the city, Mobile City, bylaws where they said that all contracts, whether it's for the city or whatever, 15% of that should go to minority businesses. Minority businesses included women, black, Hispanic, and all that. And they're supposed to be doing that. So with all the construction that's going on in Mobile, do you know what the percentage is of black and minority contractors that are even getting subcontractors that are getting any business from this?
Yeah, that was brought in some years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, it was brought in like 69, 70, 71, something like in between there.
Yeah, that's been in effect.
They're not enforcing that.
No.
The reason why they're not enforcing that because the companies that are in Mobile, whether they're black, whether they're construction, whatever they're doing, they don't have the proper paperwork or something like that. They don't have the proper credentials. And then they miss out on this money. And you know, just Billy Bob, he's going to give it to his homeboy.
Right.
You know, that's the good old boy system, how that works. So that's just passing down. But a lot of our black businesses that could be getting subcontracted or getting those contracts, they don't because they're not bonded or they don't have certain regulations or they don't have certain specifications that are dealing with that and up to par. And they need to really know, like, do that. And we don't even have a black business directory in Mobile.
No.
So if you came to Mobile and you want to even patronize black business, you wouldn't even know where to go because there's not a black updated directory. I have a directory from 1992 that I got from somebody. And I know the majority of those businesses are not still functioning in the business sense.
No, they had one. And when I tried to talk to someone at the Mobile Chamber of Commerce on last year, when I went in to try to get one, they said that they got done away with the black business directory and just put all
and
of
the
businesses
the
together.
Same one. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
But
yeah.
But the majority, yeah. that's like 98%
Billy Bob now.
2%
yeah.
black. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah.
But we have a lot of businesses here, but a lot of people don't know it. But whether they're submerging or if they're buying for businesses.
Right.
Nobody knows unless you see it on the book, social media, or if you have to Google something, but we should be able to black directory. But,
right.
You know, we have
absolutely.
A chamber, black chamber of commerce.
Yeah, but no
black,
black business
chamber
directory.
Along with the Mobile Chamber. But nobody has come up with a directory. So.
But a lot of people don't even know about the black chamber of commerce either.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know about that.
Make it so crazy, I'm a member of the Black Chamber of Commerce.
Isn't that something? Because a lot of people don't even know about that.
Yeah, I know.
I'm
there's
tell
a lot
you
of people that do. There's a lot of people that do, but you know, they don't. I guess they feel
they don't
like,
promote it. They don't.
No,
they don't
not
promote
that too.
It.
When I'm talking about the people that haven't joined on, I guess they're comfortable with the Mobile Chamber of Commerce. Some of them, because some of them are members of that, but not members of the Black Chamber. That's a head scratcher for me.
Yeah, me too. I actually made a statement over the weekend. Listen, and it's something that you bring that up because I figure like this. If all the Black businesses pulled all of their resources and everything that they have from under Billy Bob and them and put it with all of the Black banks and put it with the Black Chamber of Commerce, how do you think that will affect the economy? And if all of the Black parents will pull all of their Black athletes from all of these white colleges and pull them in all HBCUs, and how do you think that it will affect all of these white colleges? See, if we would just get back to our own, I'm with you, man. With that civil rights segregation and all that kind of stuff, we got lazy. We lost our mind. We just didn't know what happened. Money got involved. All these kind of things went crazy. We just lost our identity all over again. So I just figured, listen, walk away from the white banks. Put your money over here. You know what I'm saying? That would inspire some things. That would change some things around. I just think that, man, we just need to do some things to show. And we talked about it last week. You just need to. And the reason why I brought up morale, I think that the one reason why I brought that up is because I think that is late. You said something about a certain percentage of people. A certain percentage of people need to show another certain percentage of people how important and powerful that you are, and maybe that you can reel more in. You may not get all of them, but you maybe inspire some people that just don't know anymore, just wasn't shown, like we were just talking about these kids that wasn't ever told that you are loved, that guess what? You are somebody, that you can achieve these things, that you do have the ability to do this. So if we can just inspire that one, that two, that three to do this, maybe we can get them and come and follow. You know what I'm saying? I just have to go back to the disciples and Jesus saying, hey, if you want to have life and have it more abundantly, just come on and join me and follow me. I just have to think on some things like that and say that, listen, we can show you a better way than that darkness over there. We can take you to this light over here. Just come on and go with us. And you know, it's just some things that just have to that just, you know what I'm saying? You say we got to come together, but we got to put some action with that thing with these people. It's some people, man, you said it, and they got lazy. They gave up. They don't have a stimulant, and it don't need to be drugs. It don't need to be alcohol. It needs to be something that's going to some different that's going to stimulate that brain because they got it. They got the intelligence. But we need something to just stimulate that brain again. You know what I'm saying? To inspire that inside again. You know, because we needed it.
Yeah, well,
the
first thing you said, answer the first question you brought up was about us bringing our resources together and taking our money out of these European banks and Caucasian banks and putting them in Black banks. But you got to understand also the Black bank has to be receptive.
Absolutely.
Excuse me, to bring it in business. Now, if I'm over at a credit union, and they're not charging me the fees that you charge me, and they're reporting to all three of the credit bureaus, and you're
that's
not.
Right. That's right. That's
then
right.
That would be
absolutely.
That would be counterproductive for me to leave that bank and go over there. But so
you're absolutely correct.
We are blessed enough to have a Black bank in Mobile. One of the few that's in the Gulf Coast, which is Commonwealth, then from what I understand, they don't even report to all three credit bureaus. So if I'm doing transactions and I'm trying to build my credit and trying to get a secured credit card or get a secured loan from this financial institution, yet I'm not being able to actually elevate my scores, then why would I take my money out of there and put it over?
You're absolutely correct. Absolutely.
So in this market, in this market here, they have to be a little more aggressive, and give people something that will be more beneficial for them as far as their financial future is concerned. And if we're not if Commonwealth is not reporting neither three of those credit bureaus, then we are already dead. You ain't even in the game.
That's right. Absolutely.
So we got to be honest with that, and getting people
absolutely.
To trust each other enough in groups. That's right. We can have investment groups, but to get black people, our trust value, and we got trust issues, excuse me.
Yeah, we do.
But it's a multi-faith thing, bro. And I think we deal with it one brick at a time. And the only
absolutely.
Thing, we can't save the world. Save the world, but we can change the environment and the people that we come in contact with every day. That's how we change. We change
absolutely.
Always comes from the inside, not outside.
Absolutely.
Always comes from the inside out. So
absolutely.
If we're going to make a change, we have to make a change within a small part of our community, and then we'll spread, and hopefully people will catch on. But just being able to change the perception and around in your environment and the people that you come in contact with every day, that's a job in itself. So that's what
absolutely.
We need to work out. Because if you try to save the world and try to do it on such a mass scale, you'll wind up either discouraged or burn out or crazy. You know
you're right.
You just can only influence the people you come in contact with. And we as men, we're supposed to sharpen men. Men sharpen men like steel sharpen steel. If we not sharpening
right.
each other, and all the time we get together and all we do is talk about frivolous stuff that dumb stuff. I got to make sure I don't curse. But dumb stuff, you know, that doesn't help us to gain anything financially, spiritually, emotionally, or mentally.
That's right.
What good is it? It's
absolutely,
it's talk that doesn't, you know, and you have to get to a point when you're mature enough for all. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about us as men. Where we get
absolutely,
mature enough, where we know we got to step our game up. Some of the stuff that we did, like you said in the book, you know, when I spoke as a child, I act like a child, but now I'm a grown man. I put away childish things. The same thing
absolutely.
Goes for us. At some point in your life, you have to say, you know what, it's time to grow up. It starts time to accept responsibility, get off my ass and go work and do something
that's right, bro.
And be beneficial, not be trying to sit here waiting on no dream, because ain't no dream going to come and lay and sit and come and sit in your lap. Ain't nothing coming to you
absolutely.
Unless you go out and get it. The only place success comes before work is in the dictionary, and that's because the
that's
S
right.
is before the W. But in real
that's
life,
right.
you got to work in order to be successful, brother.
Absolutely. That's real talk right there. That's a real talk right there. Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, you check it out, Breaking Chains, boy. We on special assignment, my boy Rodney Toomer. Woo! Talking, putting it down. Real talk. Hey, we're going to take a quick music break. We come back, we're going to get his final thoughts, and we're going to break it out for the night. Hang on, we'll be right back. Breaking Chains on YAT Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. World has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Yeah.
Welcome back to Breaking Chains. It's a special assignment on YAT Radio. What's up with you? All right, got my man Rodney Tuma on the air. We're getting ready to break out of here. My brother, we're going to leave you, and I want some final word from you on tonight. What you leave with the people?
Wow, let me see. I'll leave this with you. Mind reading. How you can read somebody's mind and tell if a person is a toxic or somebody that you need to be around or somebody that can help you grow as you evolve into a better state and a higher vibration. This is nothing like when you watch Star Trek and Mr. Spock used to put his hand on somebody's brain and their temple and he'll close his eyes and, you know, it's nothing like that. But it's a real formula for reading somebody's mind. And it goes like this. It says, words are symbols of ideas. Paying close attention to a person's words constitutes one-third of the actual science of mind reading and character determination. Now, the other two-thirds consist of a person's actions and the company they keep. So if you want to know something about a person that might have came around you or that's getting to know you or y'all, you know, you see them around a couple times, all you got to do is just shut your mouth and just listen to what they say. And what they say, because you say words are symbols of ideas, paying close attention to a person's word, that constitutes one-third. It's three of them. One-third of action science of mind reading character determines the other two-thirds of the person's actions, how their body language is, what are their actions, what do they do, and the company they keep. Those three things will tell you exactly what you need to know about a person. And today you have to guard your power and you have to guard your energy. So that's just something that, you know, maybe your listeners will take into consideration when they're dealing with people and people, new people coming into their life. You know, like they said, ain't no, we don't want no more new friends. You know, that's a litmus test that gives you something to measure them by what they say, yeah, what they do, and who is their company, who they keep around them. And that's all I would like to give everybody, man, something to put on your mind. No slaves allowed.
That's good teaching. That's good teaching right there. Yes, that's a good lesson. That's a good lesson there. Well, I hope y'all picked up on that one. No slaves allowed. My man, Rodney Tumor, a.k.a. DJ Rod Ski. I tell you, he'll travel too now, you know, for a price. He'll travel, you know what I'm saying? You can't contact
DJ
him
everywhere.
Now. He'll come to you.
Get at me. Hey, let him know.
Give out that information, brother.
You can contact me at 251-509-4107. Once again, 251-509-4107. But I'd have to give you a disclaimer. If you're looking for me to come and do any parties or anything with people that are under 35, I'm going to send that to somebody else that can handle that. I'm an old school, like 80s, 90s, early, mid-2000 guy. If you want that kind of party, then definitely hit me up. You can hit me up on Facebook at Rodney Tumor and like Jihad Elijah Muhammad. That's on in the context of the bracket. Or you can check me out on Instagram at DJ Rodski, RODSKII. Or you can check me out on Twitter on the mothership, DJ Rodski. So you can hit me up on any one of those, man. Just holler at me.
Holler at him, DJ Rodski. That's for sure.
And always, I appreciate you, my brother, Rod. Always making it happen. Always trying to keep the community informed. And, man, we need more mediums like this, brother, where we can just be honest and we ain't got to be worried about no backlash because, really, I don't care about the backlash or anything. I'm going to tell
anyway,
the truth.
Yeah,
if you don't like it, you just don't like it.
You just don't like it. That's for real, bro. Take it over somebody else because we don't care.
we really don't care.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, be looking out for us. Rod Ski going to have a column. We're getting ready to break out the Breaking Chains newspaper, about to hit the streets soon. So we about to hit the streets with a newspaper because they getting rid of newspapers. But we going to put one back in your hands because I know some of y'all still like to read and you ain't on social media. So we going to bring a newspaper to the streets. So Ski going to have a column in the paper. So we about to come back at you strong. We got to do it. We got to come at you. So we'll be back here next Monday, 7 p.m.
Next Monday, I'll be out of town, my brother.
Oh, okay.
Next Monday, I'll be out of town. But I'll be back with you that Monday, the following Monday after that.
Okay, so glad to know that, brother. So we're going to keep this thing going. The mothership taking off, going to another location next week. So we'll see him the following week, giving him God's traveling grace and mercy in his travels. Brother, we love you, man. Peace and blessings to
you.
We'll talk to you
this
week, brother. All right, brother. Peace out.
Yes, sir. Peace.
Want to get involved?
Got comments or suggestions?
Let us know right here at YAT Radio. Email us at youngadultstalk@gmail.com. Call us at 858-357-9137. Or write us at YAT, Post Office Box 361-308, Decatur, Georgia 30036.
Thanks for turning us on this evening. Just know we are here to assist you in recovering your light from back from the darkness. Speak the truth with Young Adults Talk Live, a ministry for the people of God. So let's join together and recover what's ours. God bless you from the Young Adults Talk family.